Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve
Namah Tathāpā Jaya Prabhu Raja, Prabhu Raja, Prabhu Raja.
Just one small moment. I just need to set up everything. Hare Krishna. I want to greet all of you affectionately for this short lecture. I think Sadashiva has informed all of us already. Afterwards, we will have a short aratik ceremony, and then we will serve you a feast. So I don't want to keep you very long waiting, because I know some of you have fasted or eaten less, or some of you are very poor, and therefore you like to come for the feast. Good. Some years ago, I visited the United States, and in the process of giving lectures all over, I also arrived in Atlanta. I didn't know where that was. That's in Georgia. So some spot on this earth. So there I heard that when Srila Prabhupada had arrived there, he was 10 times in his life circling the globe on a world tour. So he had arrived from somewhere, maybe India, maybe Russia, maybe, I do not know. He had given a lecture, and in that lecture he broke down and could only end the lecture in tears. So I had been very curious to find that lecture. And a few days ago, I became aware of it in a transcription. There was one devotee in Atlanta who had told me that when Prabhupada cried, the whole temple room became silent. It was really touching everyone's heart. What you must know is that in this temple room they had golden Gonitai deities. They still have them. They are maybe this big, quite large in other words. And while Prabhupada spoke, this is what the devotee told me. He was looking at that whole, he was looking at these deities, and towards the end he said this, and he could only finish what he was describing while breaking out in tears. He said, this: these two lords, Nitai Gaura Chandra, Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are very kind. They have appeared just to reclaim the fallen souls of this age. They are actually more kind than Krishna. Oh, more kind than Krishna. Krishna is also very kind. He comes to deliver. But Krishna demands that first of all you surrender. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not demand surrender. He's so kind. As he was speaking about this, his voice choked up. Tears started coming, and then he very quickly brought his lecture to the end, and then more or less left the temple room. So, take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be happy. Thank you very much. And then he ended in tears. What moved him so much? What was in his mind when he said that Krishna is kind, but more kind than Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I think all of us in this, in our times, we are God-conscious people, and we have tried in our lives to come in contact with God and get some kind of signs from Him, and maybe a confirmation that we are on the right path. I know some of you are already trying since more than 20 years, some of you more than 30 years. There's one person amongst us who is trying since almost 50 years now to make contact with Krishna. And it seems sometimes very hard to get a response. This is a great subject in all of the world's religions. It's called the silence of God. Whether they are Christians, whether they are Buddhists, whether they are Hindus, whether they try to reach Winnetou as Native American, not Winnetou, Manitou, as Native Americans. You know, everyone tries to make a contact and maybe get some sign, some words of encouragement that, yes, I'm here. But very often there is the silence of God. We don't get a response. One of you was yawning like the lion in the zoo. It seems there is ein gähnendes Schweigen, a silence, a very, very pronounced silence. And many people have been very, very irritated by this. They tried and tried and tried, and they came almost to a breaking point in their lives, and then there was still no answer. Why is this so? In the Gita, Krishna says very, very, very clearly that yes, he interacts with someone. That means he comes into the life of someone and becomes really visible in the life when they surrender. That means they give up their ego and the plans which come from the ego. And that's very, very difficult for a soul. We have so many plans. We try all the time to become someone or something in this world. But to give all of this up and say, I have enough of this. Only saints come to this level. So it's not so easy to get a response from Krishna. A direct response. I personally think there are a lot of signs that Krishna is there. But a direct response, you know, direct talk is not so easy. However, there is one manifestation of Krishna, one avatar of Krishna, one appearance of Krishna, who very quickly responds, who is very, very kind because he does not demand a high qualification, and that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna, he must be feeling, oh, they're trying so hard and they feel they don't reach anywhere. So let me do something for them. Let me come in an incarnation, an avatar, where I say no conditions, no qualifications are necessary. You just come and chant the holy names you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. Yes, I know you know. And then, oh Bhavani, is das dein Ernst? just you do this, and you chant the holy names, and very, very quickly there is a response. I have been invited all over the world to be present in what is called Kirtan Melas, you know, large assemblies of people, maybe 2,000, 3,000, 5,000. I hear in Mayapur we had 8,000 at one time. They couldn't fit in the temple, they had to sit outside of the temple. And what did we do? We sang the holy names for 4 days, sometimes 5 days. And during these melas, these gatherings, I looked around and I often saw devotees, even guests, who received a type of answer. They started to cry, or they started to do two different things, dance, and they used to say that this was the best time in my life. I felt very close to Krishna. One thing I remember in particular, it was in Mauritius. You know Mauritius, in south of Africa. And we had arranged such a Kirtan Mela there. It was not so, there were some obstacles. It was raining very, very much, I remember. And we had to deal with this. We had to raise the floor in the tent, this high, otherwise every one of us would have drowned in the water. So we did it overnight. We changed things in the tent so that we were not floating away by the rain. And then for me the highlight was when at the end a man came to me. He had a bird. And there was no one around. I was one of the last to be there. And he said, it was under his pullover. He said, "Do you know what this is?" And I said, "No. Can you show me?" He said, "No. It would bring me in danger. You just touch it." And I touched it, and I thought, is it a cucumber or a banana? He said, "You monk, it's a pistol." Pistole, revolver, you also say. So I touched again, and I thought, what is in his mind? He said, "Don't be afraid, I won't use it. I want to tell you my story. I had a terrible fight with my wife, so I was, it was so bad what she said to me, and most of it was right. I took this pistol and I wanted to go to the beach and kill myself, because there is quarrel in our family since a long time. So I came by this tent and I heard you singing, and I thought, well, this will be my last party." And suiciders have sometimes a nostalgic approach to life. So he went into the tent and he stayed with us. And at the end he sang. the holy name. And he said, towards the end of the singing, I heard a clear voice, "Don't kill yourself, stupid. Just, you know, improve your character. That is better." I want to do this. I will not use this pistol on anyone, not on me, not on you, not on anyone. I have received an answer from God as I was singing the holy names. I thought, good, then the Skirta Mela served its function. I think we all look for answers, for clarity. What is our path? What should we do? What should we leave aside? What is essential now? What is no longer essential for us? I hear many people in Germany, not Germany, all over the world, they become minimalists. They give everything away because they can understand that these things don't make one happy. And they sometimes have only 30 things, you know, a toothbrush, soap, two shirts, like this, 30 things. And that's how they live, because they have seen this life which I live is a superficial life. It doesn't satisfy me. I need to get rid of certain things and certain concepts. And this happens, this clarity happens. You get answers in your heart. When you approach Krishna through the singing of the holy name, and because your consciousness again becomes pure. See, if I can show you something. One moment, please. Comes in a second. All of us come into this world like this, pure, crystal clear water. And then one disappointment comes, blue color. One misery comes, blue color. One of us who's maybe in this room, when he was a little boy, he entered a room and he saw his mother on a rope dangling. She had just committed suicide. Green color. All of us have certain impressions, disappointments, expectations which were totally frustrated maybe. We are frustrated in love. We gave our best and then a divorce was the answer. Or we became very successful, very rich. We became an international TV star. Violet color. Our consciousness, this is what I want to say, which was pure or is pure originally, has become colored by so many impressions, so that now it's a very, very, very complicated affair, a very mixed affair. And the chanting, a process is necessary to bring all of this out of the consciousness, to clear the consciousness and the mind, so that our original identity, pure, uncomplicated, full of happiness, full of wisdom also, is shining forth. And that process was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is a sacred text, it's the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the Krishna looked on his creation, so to say, on the material world, and he saw these people, they remain forgetful. So he took that special incarnation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which came to deliver the people by a simple process of chanting and dancing, something which is in our blood. We like to be with happy people. We like to be with in a place where there's a high energy, not a low energy, and an energy which uplifts us. And that can happen in a kirtan very nicely. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as some of you, like our Ramdas and others know, who like to go deep into the philosophy, had not only a message, a purpose to, you know, reach us with a simple process of self-realization. He himself was on a project. He wanted to explore the deepest possible love, a love which is felt by Srimati Radharani towards Krishna, very deep, condensed, pulsating, enlivening, enlivening is not the word here, very deep, deep, deep mood of loving emotions. And he pursued this project, this to explore love. And in the process of pursuing it, he gave those who were connected with him insights and experience of this type of love. It is said that he dove deeply into the ocean of love, and he came to the bottom, and he took out the jewels and the pearls when he came up. And he sang and he danced. He distributed this. They fell out of his mouth. And these pearls came out of him into the world. No? This is a poetic rendition of him. So two things are there in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A general approach, a general focus on how people can purify their consciousness again, become clear, if you so want, become original, become substantial, become real again, take all these colorings out. And the other process which is also there is to explore and distribute the deepest, deepest dimensions of sacred love, of divine love. So when Prabhupada was arriving in Atlanta and giving his arrival address, and when he looked at the deities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda on the altar, it is possible that he was thinking about this most kindest, most, let me say, unconditional avatar of Krishna. I would like to now tell you a little bit of the history of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 10 years ago, was it 10 years ago? Yes, 11 years ago, I made this my personal project to talk about his life and teachings. And from this, the Gora meditations, Gora Lila evenings came, and we have this program once in a month. We come together, we sing, and it is, and we talk about Chaitanya. And even after 10 years, I feel I've just started to talk about him. There's so much! And it gets deeper and more relishable every time. Here, I just would like to give you a little summary of the first years. I will go a little bit quicker around it. There's when he appeared, when he came, his mother's womb, Sachi Devi was effulgent. So much light was coming from her that the rishis, the saints and sages, and also the devatas, the higher beings, came to give their obeisances to this child who was there in the womb of Mother Sachi. And where the night where he appeared, you know, he appeared around this time. It was dark, like it is now. Everyone in the district of Navadvip, where he appeared, came and sang Hare Krishna, like we have tried to sing. But these were, you know, millions of people, not just a few like us. And it was so contagious, ansteckend, that even people from other religions joined the kirtan. Some made fun of the music, but others just were drawn into it. And thus, his appearance, or this night of his appearance, prophesied why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to spread the chanting of the holy name. But he didn't do this in the beginning. In the beginning, and I think this is very significant, he became a scholar of the scriptures. You know, someone who understands the sacred scriptures and who teaches them in a, how do you say, in a school. And he became so famous, imagine, that when he was 16 years old, he met the greatest scholar of India. His name is Keshava Kashmiri. Keshava Kashmiri was poor. He was traveling with bullock carts who carried the books, which he all knew by heart. But in case he was challenged and he needed to show people that he was right when he quoted passages from the sacred Vedas, he had all of them on bullock carts with him. He was riding on an elephant. He was so proud. There were 1,000 brahmanas going before him and praising him and chanting hymns. So he came and he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who when he was young was called Nimai Pandit. And all the scholars of the town where Nimai Pandit lived in Navadvip had seen Keshava Kashmiri coming, and they knew why he came. He wanted to challenge the biggest scholars of town for what is called a Shastratra. Means, you know, it's like an argument where they fight. It's almost like in our Western civilization, at least in my time, I do not know if it's still there, there were boxing matches, no? Muhammad Ali against, who was it? Who was our German heavyweight? Max Schmeling. Yeah, Schmeling. Who does not know Schmeling? And they would meet in the Waldbühne, you know, and then they were just beating the hell out of each other, you know, and people were highly interested in this and looked at it with great, great empathy, how these poor people were getting at each other. Anyways, I don't want to joke. I'm talking a little sarcastic about it. I shouldn't do that. So, just like in the West, there were these huge boxing games which the whole world took interest in. In the East, there were also competitions, but with a word, not with a fist. They were discussing about subtle points in the scriptures. So when this Keshava Kashmiri met Nimai Pandit, Nimai Pandit defeated him in public. Keshava Kashmiri was speechless. He had engaged in argument with the greatest brains of his time, but here was a 16-year-old boy who really made him look like the greatest fool by his superior knowledge. And this was Nimai Pandit at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time. He was a scholar. He liked to discuss subjects and win them. Do you sometimes meet amongst your friends these, in German we say, Besserwisser or know-it-all, you know, and do you get annoyed by meeting them because they always want to argue. Nimai Pandit was an aristocratic know-it-all, and he knew it all. He would ask people, scholars on the town, do you know this point? What do you think about this point? And they said, Nimai Pandit, it's all right. We don't want to discuss with you. No, Lord, give me an answer. And then they were forced to give an answer. And he said, how can you be so foolish to believe it is like this, it is like that? And they would say, yes, yes, yes. And then Nimai Pandit would say, how can you be so foolish to believe it's like that? It is like you originally said, like this. I want to close this part. When people saw him, especially when devotees of Krishna saw him, they went on the other side of the road to just escape him. The devotees at that time, the devotees of Krishna lamented, oh, if Nimai Pandit would become a devotee of the Lord, he would not waste his breath with these meaningless arguments. Why do people nowadays, they were saying, as if they were in Berlin, waste their time with things which have nothing to do with the purpose of life? One day this life will be finished, but there must be a purpose why we are here. Who am I? The devotees would say, if I remove all parts of me that are not me, will there be anything left? Yes, of course. The real person will be left whom you have never met. I like this very much. Do you know that you, all of you, there is a real person, and most probably only a few of you have met yourself already. This is the purpose of life, to find who you are, what are your potential possibilities, what are your opportunities, and not waste life in meaningless things. Now one day something happened, and thank you, Bhavini, you are our true friend, you are allowing us to see the altar. One day a great saint, his name was Ishwarapuri, came down the streets of Navadvip, and Nimai Pandit came the other way. They met and they stopped, and Ishwarapuri looked at him with a smile and said, who are you? So Nimai Pandit could see this was his superior. He folded his hand and he was very silent, and someone next to him said, this is Nimai Pandit. And Ishwarapuri laughed and laughed. Ah, this is the famous Nimai Pandit. One day, Nimai, everything will change for you, and you will stop being a scholar, but will become the greatest devotee. And this happened. Nimai Pandit's father, Jagannath Mishra, passed away, and after a year, I believe, sometime, Nimai Pandit, the scholar, went to a sacred place called Gaya, where he wanted to offer some offerings for his ancestors, especially the dead Jagannath Mishra. That's what maybe you have seen when you were in India, that people sometimes go, they have little rice balls, And then they throw the rice balls into the water of a river or a pond. And then the big fishes come like this and they eat the rice ball. Every one of you, any one of you has seen?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Tortoise.
Yeah. Yes, they are also there. Yes. So there are, this is called offering pinda. They offer rice into the water, fishes take them, and somehow you have to bear with me. I can't explain this to you. It will take another hour, and I don't want you to fast today too long. This offering gets to the dead people. You have this everywhere, in every culture, in the Shinto culture in Japan, they offer things to the dead people. In the Roman Empire, they would do this. They offered things to those who were dead. It's a Anan worship, the worship of the ancestor. So already on the way, something happened in Nimai. Nimai got a strong fever. It's possible that it's corona. Corona? You say corona? Yeah, coronavirus. No, it's possible. But the fever is not identified what type of fever it was. He became deadly sick and he was dying. And there were doctors coming from all parts to help the most famous scholar of all times to survive, but he could not. Then Nimai, with a very weak voice, said, "There's one medicine which will help me. It's the water which has washed the feet of a devotee." I thought I would write this to the Gesundheitsamt. Why not try this? To try many things. So Nimai took that water, which was the foot washing water, and he took it, and he was on the moment cured from this deadly fever which killed him. Something was in the air. Etwas lag in der Luft. So he went to Gaia. He did the rituals which are done in the worship of the ancestor. And then he came to the famous Vishnupada temple. There is a footprint of the Lord there. And when he saw the footprint of Lord Vishnu on the ground, he totally became ecstatic. A transformation so profound happened that it reached the deepest part of his being. He started to cry and show many ecstatic symptoms. And as he was, so to say, going deeper and deeper into ecstasy, Ishwarapuri, the saint who had met him in Navadvipa and had prophesied that he would change and become the greatest devotee, appeared on the spot and said, "Very good." Later, Nimai Pandit approached Ishwarapuri and he said, "I have a desire. My dear Ishwarapuri," I've written this down, "only you can lift me from this world of birth and death. I offer you this body of mine and request you to give me in return the nectar of Krishna consciousness." A day later, Nimai Pandit became initiated into the secrets of Krishna consciousness, the Vaishnava the devotees of Krishna. He became an ecstatic person, and when he came back to Navadvip, the town where he had grown up and where he had his own school, he was a changed man. This is, my dear devotees and my dear guests, this is the purpose. We all need to change. We all need to come to our original consciousness. But help is required to come to that. I was thinking about this because I'm... Do you like Rumi, some of you?
Yes.
Do you read sometimes? Sometimes you do. Rumi used to also be a scholar of the scriptures. He had his own school, and on every Friday he gave a huge lecture in the local mosque. People from were still trying to listen from the marketplace. I don't know how. I don't think they were loudspeakers, but they were, what did he say? And they were telling it by mouth propaganda, you know, those who were inside told those who were outside. He was very, very famous as a scholar, but he turned into a person full of love. He wrote one poem. He said, "One day I wanted to go to the school, but on the way I saw a guest house, and there I drank. I drank the whole night." You know, when the Sufis say "I drink," they say I was drinking from the cup of love, not wine. You know, so I was drinking the whole night. I was on my way to the school, but I was drinking the whole night in this guest house. In the morning, and I spent my time with other drinkers, and then in the morning I came out of the guest house and a policeman stopped me and said, what are you doing here? And he said, if I would know it, I would not be here. It's a mystical language. It means when you are drinking from the cup of love, you leave theoretical knowledge and the theories and the world of arguments behind, because you have developed a high type of very good intoxication. Very good intoxication is not the word I would like to use here. A very high doses of an exalted consciousness. No? So this is the change which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also made, from theoretical, heady knowledge to the world of love, of divine ecstatic love. And he invites all of us to join him, so to say, in this process by simply chanting the holy name looking for good company that can encourage us to move forward in our spiritual life. I'm not sure if I brought out all that, you know, the whole something which is satisfying for you, but I would like to leave you with a thought. Imagine there is a spiritual world, and imagine you are part of it. Imagine that by your nature you have a pure consciousness, undisturbed by material influences. No? Then you have to, then please ask the question, how do I get there? What is the process to purify my consciousness, to make it pure again, as it is originally? And I think if you ask such questions, you will arrive at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's door. I want to encourage you to get to know more about him. Well, there are various sources. There are very good books on the internet. You can Google Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think you will get many good first-class informations. We have books like The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Life and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. They are available. You know, what I will make sure, what I will do this evening when I come and before I go to bed, I will study his 8 instructions, the Shikshastakam, where he has explained all what he wanted to explain. And maybe some of you who know these Shikshastakam, these 8 instructions, you feel encouraged to also read them. One great teacher, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said, all the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are in these 8 instructions. There's no, it's simple, but it's very deep. So I want to close here. I want to wish you all the best. I want to thank you that you came today at this sacred day. I know it's a Monday. Many of us are busy with other things on Monday, but you came. I wish you that your spiritual desires will be fulfilled, that you will get your answers which you need, that there will be maybe when you turn to Krishna there will be silence, but when you come to Lord Chaitanya there will be signs. That's very good. Thank you very much, all the best. And one thing needs to be done. First let me ask, maybe Nita, you know, we will have now an Aartik ceremony, is it? Sorry? Was machen wir jetzt?
Jetzt gibt's die Aartik ceremony.
Ja, und dann danach den Prasadam. Wie spät haben wir es jetzt?
8:15.
Die Nacht ist jung. But still, we will do short kirtan. And I wanted to say this kirtan is, I want to dedicate this kirtan to a dear god brother of mine. His name is Shankarbrit Prabhu. He performed a miracle, or a miracle happened. He was for a long time in coma with very low blood pressures. The doctor said, we can't understand it. The blood pressure is something like 35 or so, and you need to function a minimum of, I think, double of it. But he's on such a low blood pressure, but he's for so long now, but he's still alive. And then this morning he left the body, and then the doctor said, wow, he stayed like a yogi for a long time alive just to leave his body on Gopunim, on the sacred day of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is glorious. I think he has visited us in the Dharma castle, and I promised that we would offer this kirtan or do this kirtan on behalf of Shankarbrit Prabhu, so that there is all support from our little temple for his further journey. No? So I will request all of you to chant Gaura Premanandi! And we will now arrange the room and do our kirtan here. A short, and then we will serve you a good feast. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.